ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To accept someone as God or an incarnation of God, one must observe the symptoms of God in his body. All the symptoms were found in the body of Maharaj Nandi's extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured and he displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence and he could control his mind and senses. Consequently, he was named Rishabha, which indicates that he was the supreme living being. Om Agyanti Nirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunvilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadapi Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this verse is in continuation, having the same theme as the last few verses that we've done in this chapter. The first verse. It is noticeable that the Supreme Lord expands Himself and blesses all the children of Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa. Now, Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa appear from the shadow of Lord Brahma and they were requested to create progeny. So, they had five children, three daughters and two sons. So, the three daughters were Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, and the two sons were Uttanapa and Priyavrata. So in the lineage of Devahuti, the Lord Himself expands and comes as Lord Kapila. In the lineage of Akuti, He comes as Nar Narayan Rishi, and in the lineage of Prasuti, He comes as Yajna. Yajna and Dakshina both were born to them as the Lord and His consort. So the three daughters were blessed by the Lord, by expanding them Himself, He comes into their lineage. And then the two sons, Uttanapad and Priyavrata, in the dynasty of Maharaj Uttanapad, the Lord comes as Maharaj Prithu. He is the Shakti Avesh Avatar of the Lord, so He comes as Prithu Maharaj, and Arshi Deva churned from the body of King Vela. So Maharaj Prithu appears in the dynasty of Uttanapad. And then now we come to Maharaj Priyavrata, who is the second son of Swayambhu Manu. So Maharaj Priyavrata had 13 sons. Out of these 13 sons, 10 from the first wife and 3 from the second wife. So the 3 sons from the second wife were Uttama, Tamasa and Revata. And they became the 3 Manus for the 3rd, 4th and 5th Manvantar. And Maharaj Priyavrata's 10 sons of the first wife, out of those 10, 3 became sannyasis. They were not interested in family life and material life, so they completely renounced order of life. They took that. And the remaining seven, they were kshatriyas. So they were capable of becoming kings. So Maharaj Priyavrata, as you know, he was a great king. He was initially in renounced order of life, and on the request of Manu and Lord Brahma, he had taken up the task of ruling the Bhumandala. So when we see that he did one very great special act that he felt was needed, that he followed the track of the sun and he actually created light on the darker side, on the opposite side of where the sun was traveling, because he felt that the opposite side of where the sun was traveling, there was darkness, so he should create light. So in that way, he had created light there. So while he was traveling on his chariot around the earth, around the Bhumandala to give light, the wheels of his chariot had created ditches in a circular form, because he was traveling in a circular motion around the earth. So those ditches actually ended up creating islands, 7 islands. So these islands ended up being circular islands, and these 7 islands were given to the 7 sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. And Agnidra, being the eldest son, And Agnidra, so he was also giving to all seven of them. So then Maharaj Priyavrata retired. So he gave the seven islands to his seven sons. And then Agnidra had the son, King Nabi. And Nabi and Meru Devi. So King Nabi was a devotee of the Lord. And he had the desire to have the son, the Lord, or someone equivalent to the Supreme Lord as his child, as his son. So he was performing yajnas along with the Brahmanas to please the Supreme Lord and request him to appear as his son. So when the Lord comes at his request and the Lord says that there is no one equal to me, so he clearly says that there is no one equal to me, so I will come myself as your son. So in this way, in Priyavrata's dynasty also, the Lord appears as Lord Rishabhdev. So in this text and in the previous text, there is a mention of how to identify God. What are the symptoms of genuine God? You see, because it is very obvious these days, it's a common phenomenon to have every now and then somebody comes up and claims to be God these days. So the symptoms, what are the symptoms that can be found in God, and what are the qualities and opulences of God? So there are three things that are prominently mentioned even in this verse, and said that he evinced all good qualities described by the great voice, namely a well-built body with all the symptoms of Godhead. So that means there are some bodily signs or symptoms that can be seen. So it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam as well that when Lord Krishna was born, there were 32 marks on his body. And also when little Nimai was born to Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, there were marks on his body. And when Sachi Mata saw those marks, she was a simple little lady, she was very fascinated, and she was so she calls Jagannath Mishra and she shows those marks on the hands and feet of the Lord. So she saw conch, she saw chakra, she saw club, she saw lotus flower, fish. So these marks can be found only on the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His original incarnation. So these were bodily marks were found. So then Sachi Mata calls upon his father, Nilambar Chakravarti, who then looks at the chart for this baby, boy Nimai, and he actually says that this boy has all the marks of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. He has the marks of being a divine personality. So in this way, these bodily marks are an indication that an incarnation is a genuine original incarnation of the Lord. You know, some of you must have read that in Indian history books, if you must have come across, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned only as a saintly person who propagated the bhakti movement in West Bengal and in down south. There's nothing more than that in those books. It is quite, what can you say, because these books, actually some of the historians actually wrote Indian history for atheists and they were Westerners. So what can be said about them understanding the, you know, the philosophy or the religious side of the aspects in India? So in this way, these marks were, they could Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra could identify that their son is a divine personality. And now there is also mention of the symptoms of Godhead, such as prowess, strength, body, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. So, chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita is called Opulence of the Absolute. In that, the very first verse in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, he quotes Parashurmuni. Parashurmuni is the father of Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva is the father of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And so Parashurmuni says that for anyone to be God, he should have these six opulences, which is strength, wealth, beauty, knowledge, fame, and renunciation. They should have these qualities all the time in full, and that's what makes them God. So when, and so Srila Prabhupada mentions in that purport that when Krishna appeared on this earth, he actually demonstrated all these qualities. You could see these qualities in different times, different pastimes, these qualities came out. So, Lord Krishna himself has enumerated on the different energies, both his inferior energy, the material energy, and the superior eternal potency, in chapter 7. And coming up to this chapter 10, he is describing now the very specific opulences. And he even mentions that in this chapter, he says, I have not told you this before, the specific opulences that I'm going to mention to you now in chapter 10. I haven't mentioned these to you before. So, but then in the very second verse, Lord Krishna also warns Arjuna. He says, neither the sages nor the demigods understand my origin or my opulences, because I am the very source of those demigods and sages. So then Gurujan Prabhu, in his book Surrender Unto Me, he has given a very nice explanation, and he says, so then how do we understand? If the Lord himself is saying that you can't understand, even the demigods can't understand. So, and the sages also can't understand. You know, so one might argue that the demigods are into sense gratification. So maybe that's why they cannot understand. But in the commentary by Srila Balaji Vidyabhushan, he says that even the sages cannot understand. So you cannot argue that the Lord is not understood by the demigods because they are in sense gratification. Even the sages who are in renounced sort of life, they have nothing to do with material sense gratification, even they can't understand. So Bhurajan Prabhu explains that the only way to understand the Lord is by hearing from him or by hearing from his devotees. So when he explains that only if the Lord wants to reveal himself to us, will we be able to understand him. As long as the Lord does not give his mercy, it is not possible to understand him. And then in the text 3 of chapter 10, the Lord says that, the Lord then tells the results. What are the results if we understand him? So he mentions three specific qualities that he has. He says he's aja, he's unborn. And he's anadi, he's beginningless, he has no origin. And he's the supreme Lord of all the worlds, which is Sarvalokmaheshwaram. Now if you see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has mentioned these three qualities many times. You know, when he says in chapter 4, in text 9, he says, Janma karma chani divyam evam yovita. That is, my birth and my appearance is transcendental and divine. Anybody who understands this can become free of the cycle of birth and death. And then again in chapter 4, in text 6 also, he says, Ajopi san avyayatma, aja, unborn. So he actually wants you to understand that if you, these qualities are very important. Obviously they are emphasized in different parts in Bhagavad Gita. So he says, Gurujan Prabhu explains that if you can understand this, that the Lord is unborn, at least if you can theoretically understand that, and you put faith, then we'll be freed of all sins. So the result of understanding the Lord's opulences is that we will be freed of all the sins, and then the Lord himself declares that we will be freed from the cycle of birth and death. And then, now we just Kartik Mass is just around the corner, and it is coincidentally, Gurujan Prabhu, in this text also he mentions the Damodar Leela of the Lord. He says that the Damodar Leela of the Lord comes out very, in the inconceivable potency of the Lord, comes out very beautifully in this Damodar pastime of the Lord. You see, because in that pastime, Mother Yashoda is upset with Krishna. And she is chasing Krishna with a stick. She's so upset, she'd never lifted a stick to hit Krishna before. So she is upset and she wants to hit Krishna with the stick. So she's chasing him and he is running everywhere in the backyard, in the courtyard. And they have reached almost the end of their courtyard. They're almost at the road. So, and Mother Yashoda, in her effort to chase Krishna, her hair had become loose. The beautiful hair, the flowers on her hair, they've fallen off from her hair. And she's trying to chase him and catch him because he created a big mess in the house. He broke that urn in which she was churning butter. And she broke all the pots in the storeroom which had milk and yogurt and butter. And this is not ordinary. of butter. So it is mentioned that there are 9 lakh cows in Nandabhavan. Nanda Maharaj has 9 lakh cows. And Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda mother, carefully chooses 8 cows out of them. And those 8 cows are fed special grass, which is called Padmagandha grass, which is the smell of lotuses. So when they give milk, the milk given by these 8 cows has that smell of the lotuses. So out of these 8, then again one is chosen who is fed the milk of these 7 cows. And this special 8th cow actually gives a lot of milk, knowing that this milk is going to be used for little Krishna. So in this way, Mother Yashoda makes so much effort to get this milk, and she is churning this milk in this urn. And then if Krishna breaks that urn and then breaks all the other pots in the storeroom, then she is obviously upset that all her plans to feed him the best butter so that he won't go and steal from the neighboring gopis' houses. It's all, her plans are trashed. So she's upset and she's now chasing Krishna with all these things in mind. And it's a big mess as well. She makes a big mess in the storeroom and in the kitchen. So then she's able to catch him, and then she wants to tie him with a rope. So it is mentioned that at first she suddenly sees this unused, she sees this as, I can't remember what it's called. She ties him with a rope and just...
Grinder.
Yeah, no, it's not a grinder, it's a...
Mortar.
So then she wants to tie him, because it's an unused one lying in her courtyard, and she wants to tie him. So the first thing she thinks of is, okay, how do I tie him? So she takes out the ribbon, the silken ribbon in her hair, and she tries to tie him. So one is not enough. Then she gets another one, which is in her braid. So now there are two of them, and she's trying to tie with the silken braid the Lord's waist. But obviously the Lord doesn't want to get tied. And Krishna at that time, as mentioned, he's so fearful that he starts crying. And with his one hand, he's rubbing his eyes, and the mascara is flowing from his eyes. And the rubbing makes it all the more like spread all over his face. And his curly hair, all his shiver, because he has been running. And so he's in complete fear. So then Mother Yashoda sees that he's actually in fear. So she, first of all, she drops a stick. She's actually doing it out of love. It's not that she's actually angry with him. And so she drops the stick, so Lord Krishna is a little bit less fearful then. And then, but he's still crying, and he's upset that Mother Yashoda is going to punish him. And he's embarrassed as well, because it's like almost at the end of the house where others can see what is happening. So when she tries to cry and she's not able to, so then she asks, some of the maids, they come running and seeing what's happening. So she says, okay, can you go and get me some rope to tie? So thinking that Lord Krishna's waist is going to be tied, this little baby Krishna, so the maids who are helping Mother Yashoda, they get the best, the softest silken strings and pieces from inside the house, and they give it to Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda ties that to what she already has, the ribbons that she used first. And then she tries to again tie the Lord's waist, and she's still not able to do it. So she's a bit puzzled, how is it that it's falling? And it was only 2 fingers short. It was not that initially it was very short. Initially it was 2 fingers short, and after she tied more silken ribbons to it, it was again only 2 fingers short. So Mother Yashoda was a bit confused, but anyway she said, okay, now bring more cloth. So they went, the maids went, and they got more cloth. All the cloth that they could found in the house, they got that. And then she tried tying that, and then she put that on, and again it was short. So little Krishna was smiling by now. Of course, and Mother Yashoda would look at him, would again make a sad face and show that he's angry. But from the corner of his eyes, he could see when Mother Yashoda is so engrossed tying the knots, then he would start smiling. Then, when even that fell short, then so the neighboring gopis came to inquire what's happening, and there were some onlookers who actually started coming. So there was like a crowd started to gather, all the Brajavasis, they started to inquire what's happening. You see, because this happened on the day of Diwali. So on Diwali, Mother Shuddha in the morning itself, she's contemplating on making all these sweets and all the special delicacies for the festival. And all the Brajavasis were also going to be busy in their own homes to plan for the festival. But when they saw that this is happening, so they all started gathering. All the Brajavasis started gathering and seeing what's happening. So she says, oh, I need more rope. So then the neighboring gopis come, or Yashoda Mani's friends come, and she says, get me more rope. So there, she says, okay, go to the cow shed. So all the gopi friends of Mother Yashoda then go to the cow shed of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj has 9 lakh cows. So imagine how much rope would have come from those 9 lakh cows. So they untied all the cows and brought all that rope and gave it to Mother Yashoda. It was like heaps and piles of rope was put in front of Mother Yashoda. So by now Krishna just sat on a little rock next to the mortar where Mother Yashoda was trying to tie. And she was sweating and she was trying to tie Krishna. So she was trying to tie these ropes together one after the other. And it is said that this had started in the morning and by now it was already afternoon. And they were still doing this. And then Mother Yashoda, after having finished tying all the huge pile of ropes in front of her, then she again tries to tie Krishna with the rope. And it again fell 2 fingers. It's two fingers, just this much. So 2 ends of the rope just wouldn't come together. They would just stay 2 fingers short. And then Mother Yashoda was completely perplexed. What's going on? And then she's thinking, how can I tie Krishna? And then the gopis and other Brajavasis who were standing said, maybe God doesn't want you to tie Krishna. He doesn't want you to punish him. But Mother Yashoda was determined. She said, what has God got to do with this? He's my son. He's been very naughty in the morning. I want to discipline him. Why should God be in this picture? So she gave that stern look to all the Brajavasis and they were just quiet. They didn't want to disturb her anymore. So she continued. So even when she was not able to do it, then she told all the Brajavasis, all the onlookers who were standing there, okay, now get all the ropes that you have in their homes. So all the ropes that were in Vrindavan, or anybody that they could lay their hands on, any rope or any cloth that could be used as a rope, it was brought. And then all the gopis and the friends of Mother Yashoda and Mother Yashoda's busy tying the ropes, and she's sweating profusely. See, and Mother Yashoda is thinking, Krishna hasn't even eaten anything since morning. How can this waist grow big, so big that I can't tie this rope? He's hungry since morning. And even she was hungry. They both didn't eat anything since morning. And it was afternoon now, and they're both hungry, and still she can't bind Krishna. Now after this, now when all the rope from Vrindavan has come, everybody's busy doing this. So you see, they were all going to be busy in the Diwali festival, but here there is a more fascinating festival going on, the rope festival. So they were all thrilled that they are part of this festival which involves Krishna, because that's what they always wanted to do, be engaged with Krishna, somehow being the association of Krishna. So this gave them the chance to look at Krishna, to admire Krishna, and to be part of this activity that Mother Yashoda was performing. So then, by the time Mother Yashoda tied all the ropes in Vrindavan with the help of her friends, it was almost sunset time. And then the drops, one drop of Mother Yashoda's sweat fell on Krishna. And little Krishna felt very compassionate. Suddenly that anger melted and he felt very compassionate for his mother that she's trying so hard to bind me. So, and then suddenly a tiny little hand comes between Mother Yashoda and Krishna, and there is a silken ribbon in that hand. And who is this hand from? This is little Radharani. So little Radha, she also comes to know that this actress pastime is going on. And she, although the Radharani's show is all over now, they started in the morning and by now it's all done. But she was determined to help Mother Yashoda in tying Krishna. So she takes out this silken ribbon from her hair and she gives it to Mother Yashoda to tie. Now, Krishna can see that the Mother Yashoda is with her, all her love, she's trying to tie him. And then Radharani is there and gives that silken, it says that millions and millions of lengths of rope could not do what one drop of sweat from Mother Yashoda and this little ribbon from Radharani could do. And then Krishna agreed to be tied. Then eventually Mother Yashoda was able to tie Krishna. So how does this happen? Because as long as Krishna didn't want to be tied, no one could tie. Even lengths and lengths of rope couldn't tie. So you see, in the spiritual world, there is no concept of space or time. It's all they all adjust according to Lord Krishna's will or desire and increase in his pleasure pastimes. So distance is a concept of space. So like space between two ropes is just not coming together. They're not coming together. So suddenly, when the Lord's desire was there, they came together. So this is what Guruji Prabhu explains. This is how to understand this inconceivable potency. With a limited intelligence, we cannot understand. But at least if we can put faith in this inconceivable potency of the Lord, then we will be freed of all the sins. So this is how the Damodar Leela is, it reveals the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. And another one that he says, that he wouldn't have mentioned, he says there is another one that's like he's the Supreme Lord of all living entities and of all the worlds. And yet, he agrees to become, proposes to become the chariot driver of Arjuna. And it is mentioned that it's a very lowly position, chariot drivers. Because you see, in the battle scenes it is mentioned, it's actually very noisy. Because there is a noise of clubs and swords clashing and arrows, and there are horses and chariots and infantry. So this constant, it's a place of lot of activity, it's a dangerous place and very noisy. So it is not possible for the chariot driver to hear the chariot rider. If he wants him to turn left or right, how is he going to convey? It is too noisy. So it is mentioned that the chariot rider actually touches or kicks the chariot driver with his foot. If he wants him to turn left, he will touch on the left side. If he wants him to turn right, he will kick on the right side. So in this way, see how humble and how low position Krishna is willing to take for the sake of his friend Arjuna. So this is another, it's inconceivable how Lord Krishna can do that, being the Supreme Lord of all living entities. And being, you know, the Lord of all that is, the cause of all causes, and yet he takes such a humble position. So therefore, in this incarnation of Lord Rishabh Ved, as is mentioned, he is an incarnation of the Lord, and that is mentioned, and that is evident from the qualities that he has and from the different bodily symptoms that he has. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3 is named as the Supreme Lord, Krishna is the incarnation of all incarnations. So in that, there are different incarnations of the Lord that are mentioned. So Lord Rishabhdev is also mentioned there. So which means the scriptures can guide us as to who is the genuine incarnation of the Lord. So in there, Srila Prabhupada also mentions there are different qualities that the incarnations of the Lord will have. Because they are, so the verse, because they are also the expansions of the Lord, so they will have some of the qualities of the Lord. And in that purport to verse 28 of chapter 3 in Canto 1, the verse is Ete Chamsa Kala Kumsam Krishna Su Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridyati Yuge Yuge. So after mentioning all the 25 incarnations, then in this verse it is mentioned that all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portion, but Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These expansions come when there are disturbances created by the atheists, and the Lord comes to please the atheists. So in the purport of this verse is very detailed, and Srila Prabhupada explains that how there are 64 qualities that the Param Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna has, and no one has these 64 qualities. And then there are other qualities that are found in, to some extent in him. So, and there are categories of the expansions of the Lord. So the Supreme Lord himself, and there is Vishnu Tattvas, and then there is Lord Shiva Tattva, there is Jiva Tattvas. So some of the qualities are found in the Jiva Tattvas and in Shiva Tattvas, and some of the qualities are found only in Lord Narayan or Vishnu Tattva and Krishna, and then some are there which are only in Krishna and none other. So the qualities account, so I mean there are 50 qualities that are mentioned that are present in full in Krishna, but in very minuscule proportions in the other, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and Lord Narayan. So these qualities, some of them are, they are mentioned in detail in Nectar of Devotion in chapter 21, Quality of Krishna. So some of the important qualities are this only. So the very first quality actually talks about the bodily features of the Lord. He says that the bodily features of the Lord can only be explained to us mundane entities by comparing it to some material that we can see, and we find it very beautiful. Like it is said that the face of the Lord is compared to the moon, is as beautiful as the moon, and that his thighs are like the trunks of the elephants, very strong and powerful. And his arms are like two pillars. So in this way, the bodily features of the Lord are described. And then the auspicious characters that I just mentioned before, that there are 32 bodily marks on the body of the Lord, which distinguish him from anybody else. And they are, for example, the seven places in his body are very pinkish. For example, his lips, the hands, his palms, his feet, like that. So his eyes, so these are pinkish, and then some parts of like his body are broad, like his chest is broad, his forehead is broad, and then some part of his body are deep, like his intelligence is deep, his navel is deep, and his voice is deep. So in this way, the auspicious characteristics of the Lord are mentioned. And then the third quality is pleasing. He is very pleasing. Just to be able to see him doing things, his actions, his words, in every way is very pleasing. Another quality that is mentioned is that he is a great linguist. And it is explained how he is a great linguist is because he, to the demigods, he speaks in Sanskrit, and to the gopis, he would speak in their language, and to other citizens at that time, different provinces had different dialects and different languages, he would speak to them very fluently in that language. And even to the animals, he would speak in their language, and to the birds. So he could communicate with everyone in their language. That's why he was called a great linguist. He's also then called, the fifth quality is pleasing talker. How is he a pleasing talker? It is said that anybody who can even talk nicely to their enemies is a pleasing talker. You know, and the example is given of Krishna when he subdues Kaliya. After subduing him, he says, "My dear king of the snakes, I'm sorry that I had to give you so much pain, but I had to do it in order to protect the Brajvasis." So after subduing him, yet he talks very pleasingly to Kaliya. And then the sixth quality he has is forgiving. And the example is given of how Shishupal was going on blaspheming him, not just separately, but in public, in front of everyone. He did it for a long time. And eventually, Shishupal got killed when it was like, okay, 100 times he can offend, he can blaspheme Krishna, and after that. And yet, he gets liberated. Because all the people present in the Raja Surya, they could actually see that he actually entered the body of the Lord. So that is mercy of the Lord. That is how forgiving he is, that even those who get punished by him, they get liberated. So in this way, so these are only enumerated six, but there are 50 of such qualities. And these qualities are present in full in Lord Krishna, but partially in Jiva Tattvas, and a bit more in Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and a lot more in Lord Narayana. And then after these 50 qualities, there are another 5 qualities which are not present in Jiva Tattva, only a little bit in, partially very little in minuscule in Brahma and in Shiva. These are the changeless. First one is that he is changeless and all cognizant. To some extent we can say that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva all are cognizant, ever fresh, Satchitanand, possessing all mystic perfections, Yogeshwara. So, to some extent, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva may have these qualities. Now, we should remember that Lord Shiva is neither Jiva Tattva nor Vishnu Tattva. He is somewhere in between. So, he has a unique flavor of his own. Then, coming to the next 5 qualities. So, this brings us to 55. And the next 5 qualities are present only in Lord Narayan and Krishna, not even in Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. And these are inconceivable potency of the Lord. So for example, we just went through the Damodar Leela, how it is inconceivable to understand how the rope was always 2 fingers short. So inconceivable potency of the Lord is present in Lord Narayan and in Lord Krishna. And then unlimited universes generate out of the body. So this is, we know this happens from Mahavishnu, unlimited universes generate out of the body of Mahavishnu. And then he is the original source of all incarnations. Now this can't be said about Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva or the Jiva Tattva. This can only be said about Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna. And then he gives salvation to even his enemies whom he kills. We see that Lord Krishna kills so many demons. And he gave them salvation or liberation. They got different kinds of Sayujya, Sarupya, Salokya Muktis. And then attractor of liberated souls. So this is the attractor of liberated souls. Like you see that Sukadev Goswami was a liberated soul from birth. Then he took birth, he just walked off, he didn't care about his parents. But when his father Vyasadeva was narrating the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he got attracted. So he is the attractor of even the liberated souls, even the 4 Kumaras, it is mentioned that liberated souls, but they became attracted towards the different qualities of the Lord. So then Lord Narayan, it is said, is very close to Krishna. He is the one who has 60 qualities, and Lord Krishna has 64 qualities in full. So the only qualities that are present in Krishna and are absent in Narayan, because they are actually very close to each other, are these 4, which is Leela Madhuri, the Leelas of the Lord. The Leelas of the Lord are so sweet and so attractive that they actually attract the minds of even the great sages. And it is said that Mother Lakshmi, the most attractive Leela is the Rasa Leela. And when Mother Lakshmi saw Rasa Leela, we were actually discussing this on Saturday at Bhaktivedanta class. Rangeshwar Prabhu was explaining this to us. And it is mentioned also in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 8 and 9, how Mother Lakshmi, she is always massaging the lotus feet of Narayan. She is always with the Lord. Who can be more fortunate to serve the Lord all the time? But when she saw this Rasa Leela, that Lord Krishna has expanded himself into unlimited gopis, like the number of gopis there are, that means number of Krishnas there are. And he is giving personal attention and he's dancing with each one of them. So these sporting pastimes of Lord Krishna attracted her so much that she also wanted to dance with Krishna. She wanted to have this rasa with the Lord. So it is mentioned that she actually went and performed austerities for many, many centuries so that she can have this. She can be part of his pastime. But she wasn't granted this because she's a bit in opulence. She was a bit in opulence. But then she requests the Lord if she can be, you know, in the form of Srivats, she can always be on his chest. So that's why the Srivats are a few strands of golden hair which represent Mother Lakshmi on the chest of Lord Krishna. So Srivatsa, as Srivatsa, she's always present with him. So this is how beautiful the Lord's Rasa Leela is. This is why Leela Madhuri. So these qualities are only unique to Krishna. So even as his Leela, see Damodar Leela, and as a butter thief, his Leela is Makhan Chor, Govardhan Leela. So all these Leelas are extremely attractive and they steal the minds of even the most renounced yogis. And then Prema Madhuri. So it's mentioned that the love of the gopis is so intense for Krishna, and they complain to Krishna. They say, you know, Krishna, you go away, you are in the forest, you go cow herding the cows, and we are not able to see you. And then when you come back, then we want to keep, we just want to keep looking at you. Your form is so beautiful, your face is so beautiful that we just want to keep looking at you. But, and then he says, this Lord Brahma, he doesn't even know how to create eyes, and he has put these eyelids on the eyes, so we have to blink. And for that one moment, we are not able to see your beautiful moon-like face. That is, so he is surrounded by these devotees who are actually so fond of him. And then Venu Madhuri. Venu Madhuri is his flute. So it is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion that when Lord plays on his flute, even Lord Shiva, who is playing on his drums, he becomes stunned. He just stops and listens. Everything about him becomes stunned. He forgets everything. And Lord Brahma, when he hears Krishna's flute, he forgets his creative function. He is not able to do anything. He also becomes stunned. So in this way, it is mentioned that all these different, and even the cows, the birds, everybody, when they hear Krishna's flute, they just stop what they're doing. They can only meditate on the flute. It is so fascinating for them. And so, Leela Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, and Rupa Madhuri. Fourth one is Rupa Madhuri. Rupa Madhuri means the form of the Lord is so beautiful that it is said that when the Lord is in the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj, then all the devotees are there are thinking, oh, Krishna, whosoever created him, has finished his, he has ended up using all his craftsmanship skills here. There is nothing more left with him because he has created a perfect body, perfect form, beautiful form of the Lord. And different parts of the Lord are like, compared to the lotus, he has lotus-like eyes, he has the mouth is like lotus, his feet are like lotus. So in this way, these are mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, the different four qualities, the last four are only mentioned, are only present in Krishna, not in any of the other incarnations. So to conclude, I would say that we, in this verse, as we saw, that there are three different ways we can identify the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his expansions, is that if they have the bodily marks, or if they have the six opulences, 10, 12, and all these qualities that are mentioned in them. And also the scriptures will verify whether they are God or not. So I will end here. Any questions or corrections? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki,
Jai
Prabhupada ki,
Jai.